Most stories do not start with a journalist. They start with people noticing when a river runs dry, asking why a school is changing, discovering something new next door. Curiosity is human. Your right to keep asking questions is at the heart of NPR's mission, and we are not going anywhere.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Wednesday, May 27th. We'll tell you how the county's recommended budget addresses federal funding cuts. More on that next, but first, the headlines. A nearly 70-year-old man who was attacked outside of his Escondido home died Sunday night following several days in the intensive care unit. Kerry Sharon was a U.S. Army veteran and the owner of the so-called Trump House. The house was given its name because it's covered in pro-Trump memorabilia, American flags, and other MAGA signage. Escondido police say that it's currently still unclear what provoked the attack. Sharon's wife told NBC7 she feels it was due to the signs and flags that cover their home, saying they've been, quote, harassed before over the signs, but things never turned violent. The alleged suspect is a U.S. Navy veteran who pleaded not guilty to an attempted murder charge on Friday. CBS 8 says the charge could now change. Tonight is the rescheduled hearing for the public to provide input on the City of San Diego's proposed budget for the next fiscal year. It takes place this evening at 6:30 inside the Civic Center on C Street in downtown San Diego. The city says they'd like to know which programs and services matter most to you as they work to fill a more than $100 million budget deficit. The City Council is scheduled to vote on the final budget on June 9th. A wind advisory is in effect for our county's mountain and desert areas through 5 a.m. Thursday. Winds 30 to 40 miles per hour are anticipated, with gusts up to 65 miles per hour. The National Weather Service says that winds this powerful can make driving difficult and are advising you to use extra caution. NWS also says to expect some patchy drizzle before 11 a.m. After that, things should gradually become more sunny, with highs landing around 66 degrees. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need. Watch programs on your schedule with the KPBS Plus streaming service. See new episodes of Nature and Nova, latest news from PBS NewsHour and KPBS Evening Edition, local shows like Ken Kramer's About San Diego. Learn more at kpbs.org/kpbsplus. The county's $9 billion recommended budget is out, ahead of a weeks-long process to gather community feedback. Public Matters reporter Jake Gatta tells us how this spending plan addresses federal funding cuts.
San Diego County plans to direct nearly 40% of its $9.15 billion spending plan to public services, with a focus on shoring up the safety net that was cut last year under President Trump. More than $2.2 billion would go to the county's Health and Human Services Agency. This includes $852 million for programs like Medi-Cal, CalFresh, and CalWORKs. And $1.4 billion would go to Behavioral Health Services, which handles mental health and alcohol and drug abuse programs. The county summary says this budget prepares the region for the impacts of H.R. 1 and highlights the additional investments and services that the budget proposes, like $23 million aimed at helping families navigate new benefit eligibility requirements, and an increase in funding for the Immigrant Legal Defense Program. The budget also proposes $3 billion for public safety, with nearly half of that going to the Sheriff's Department. But some of that is thanks to Prop 36 passing in 2024. This ballot initiative created stricter penalties for repeat theft and drug offenses. As a result, the sheriff, public defender, and the probation offices are adding employees to handle increased caseloads. This is just the first step in the budget process. Community members can submit feedback online until June 11th. For more budget information, go to sandiegocounty.gov/budget. Jake Gatta, KPBS News.
Iran's World Cup training base has been moved from Arizona to Tijuana. Reporter Katie Heisen says the team will have to travel back to Mexico after each match in the U.S.
Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum spoke about the move Monday morning.
Estados Unidos no quiere que la selección iraní se quede
She said the United States didn't want the Iranian team to stay overnight in the U.S. and asked if they could stay in Mexico instead. And we said yes, no problem. The team's Instagram posts are filled with welcoming comments from Mexican users. One says, "Iranian brothers, you are more than welcome in our country of Mexico." The move comes 3 months after the United States launched a war in Iran. Mark Ballum is board president for the San Diego Diplomacy Council. He sees this as a good sign for U.S.-Mexico relations.
We wanted the Iranian team to play in the World Cup, so this solution allows them to play. And so what I see this, the solution that's happened now, is it shows to the value of our relationship with our neighbors to the south in Tijuana to help solve this problem.
The U.S. Department of State did not immediately respond to questions from KPBS. The World Cup will kick off June 11th. Katie Heisen, KPBS News.
The Benita Museum and Cultural Center has an all-new look thanks to a local artist. In our Museum a Month for May, reporter John Carroll has more on the change and the artist behind it.
If you drove by the Bonita Museum and Cultural Center any time before mid-April of this year, you could have easily missed it. With its sandy stone exterior walls, it pretty much blends into the buildings adjacent to it, a sheriff's substation and the Bonita Library. The museum sits along busy Bonita Road across the street from a McDonald's. A few years ago, a member of the museum board reached out to a local artist and asked what could be done to make the place stand out. That artist is Chula Vista native Michael Leaf. I talked to him recently, standing outside the museum.
I'm an avid cyclist, so I ride through here all the time. And as I was coming down Bonita Road, I just saw it. And that's actually what I call this pattern, is the it pattern. I just saw it, and I knew that was the answer.
Leaf's medium is metal. The it pattern is a series of panels painted a glossy blue and purple with little shapes cut into the panels and pulled outward. It definitely makes the place stand out.
This is how we let not only the community know, but the world know, hey, there's a museum over here. And this is a good way to show what is going on the inside reflects on the outside.
The museum is not large, just two rooms. What's on the inside is a history of not only Bonita, but the Sweetwater Valley in general. Wendy Wilson is the executive director.
People don't know about Bonita, maybe about South Bay, so they'll get a little history about the Sweetwater Valley, a little bit about the first people here, the Kumeyaay, as well as moving into the early days of water with the Sweetwater Dam and then going into some of the agriculture, some of the citrus that was in the region.
All of that history is in one room. In the other is where you find the cultural side of things. Various exhibitions come and go through the year, including works by Michael Leaf. Opening on June 6th is Beyond the Border, Plein Air, P-L-E-I-N. It features artists from around the region who paint outdoor scenes across the county, capturing the bright light, coastal vistas, and urban scenery in real time. Then those works are brought here for all to enjoy, and the museum is always free. But something permanent is happening outside. Apart from its colorful walls, the museum is working in conjunction with Leaf to create what it calls a grand outdoor sculpture garden, anchored by a piece called Inner Strength. It's a metal figure of a human holding two diverging steel bars in place. A metaphor, Leaf says, of just how strong we as a people are, both externally and internally, a beacon of resilience. You could also say an example of a homegrown native of the South Bay sharing his artistic gift to make his corner of our region a more beautiful, inviting place. John Carroll, KPBS News.
Rapper, activist, and music producer Boots Riley made his film directing debut 8 years ago with Sorry to Bother You, Cinema junkie Beth Accomando has been eagerly awaiting his return to the screen and says I Love Boosters does not disappoint.
Boots Riley described his first film, Sorry to Bother You, as an absurdist dark comedy with magic realism and sci-fi inspired by the world of telemarketing. His new film, I Love Boosters, is less dark, but equally absurd and still fueled by urban magic realism. But this time, the sci-fi inspired elements play out in the world of the fashion industry and boosters.
What's a booster?
Somebody that steals clothes from a store and sells it at a discount price?
It's like community service.
Riley focuses on the often vilified boosters, but insists capitalism is the real villain because it's based on theft.
Christy Smith stole my design.
And on a class system in which many people can't afford the products they're told they need to have.
I shop here a lot, and I feel like I should have it all. Just want to take it all home, eat it up, and shoot it out of my eyes. I just feel like, give it to me. It's mine anyway.
Boosters explodes off the screen like a Molotov cocktail, a vibrant pop agitprop, advocating for true change and a global uprising of workers. But it delivers its message and activism with such audacious style and bold originality that it makes you sit up and listen in new ways. It's calling for revolution, both in society and in cinematic storytelling. Beth Accomando, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and subscribing. By doing so, you're supporting public media, and I want to thank you for that. Have a great day.
Before a producer hits record or before a journalist picks up a pen, someone like you notices something and wants to understand it. Every day, we invite you to keep asking questions like why and who and how. Because NPR begins with questions, not conclusions. And your right to curiosity is a right worth protecting.